Welcome, everyone, to Total Nonstop Impact. Impact Talk for Impact Fans, featured right here on the TNI Network. This is Trent, I mean Veer, along with my co-host, J-Mone. J-Mone, say hello to people.
Veer is here, folks.
He's here. He's here. There's a graphic.
At least for another few weeks. But you know what? I still ain't buying it. You're going to stay here, right?
I'm here. I'll tell you what, they're in Chicago today. That's the funny thing. Raw was in Chicago, and Skull hits me up, and he goes, "We should have fucking gone with a sign that said Veer is here, and an arrow pointing down at you."
I'm like, "Dude, you should have. Yeah, you could have come with the face paint and had some kind of weird whatever, you know."
And then wear the
TNA and a big sign saying Veer to TNA, and then I get escorted out on camera. That'd been freaking hilarious.
People be like, "How much is wrong with this picture? They got, he's got TNA, not even Impact. It's not Veer." What the hell's going on? man. No, I would love to have gone. It would have been funny to do it. Nobody's tagged him in like any of the tweets about me and him. Like, no one's actually tagged him to be like, "Hey, look at this guy," which I think is funny. But I kind of want to tag him, but I want to be that guy. Like, you know, Veer, come get your boy. But hey guys, we're here. NWA TNA number 104 today, and Impact number 7, which is the Fox Sports Net lead-in to that. We're gonna do that. But welcome everybody in the chat today. We're on time, which is great, and everybody's in there. We got the usual crew, and we got some newbies in here too. So thank you for all being here. Big real quick message to the patrons. We're gonna do an after dark after this too. So if you're a patron, patreon.com/WeTalkImpact. You get an after dark tonight. And Jay, before it went on the air, he told me, "Jay, you said to me, your exact words were," he goes, "I got some shit to spit." Then I said, "Whoa," because my exact words to him were, "There's not much to talk about." Then he goes, "Oh no, I got some shit to spit." So Jay, give him a little teaser. Don't tell him what it is. Give him a teaser. There's some shit to spit.
There's some shooty stuff, and because we love our patrons, I'm going to give them a little preview of some coming attractions.
Oh, I didn't even know that part. So that's new to me. But guys, if you want, you can even sign up right now. It's patreon.com/WeTalkImpact. Lowest tier, I think, even gets you the after dark, I believe. So go check it out. But guys, yeah, we're here. We're at 104, Jay. 104 weeks I've done this along with my brother, Jay Bone. And that is exactly 2 years, Jay. Exactly 2 years we've done this.
It's crazy.
Wow.
It's crazy. I mean, we've skipped a week or two, but if you're counting numbers wise, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. For those who don't know, we started this as a quarantine project in a sense, like right when quarantine hit, right? That's how we started doing this.
No, we decided we wanted to, because it was shortly. It was a few months after I joined, and I was like, "Well, you've got this OG channel just sitting over here, just collecting dust."
Yeah,
I'm like, why don't we do something with it?
That's right. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm mistaken. God, it's been, you know, those 2 years are kind of a weird blur, but.
Oh, dude, I don't remember anything from the last 2 years. Like, you want to talk about messing with your head, man. This panini is horrible.
Yeah. I think 2 years ago around now is when we had Russo on. We had Russo on, like, right around this time. Because we were early into the Asylum stuff. And we were able to get him on pretty early.
We started it before we had, I believe, Bill and a few of the others, Alicia.
Because Kyle's on the Russo episode. So it was three of us. Yeah, he was popping in and out of these. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So good times, man. Good times. So, guys, I'm glad for those who have been with us. We're glad to have had you guys for this whole time joining us for these. So that's really cool of you guys to be here. Real quick, I want to just give a shout out to Brian, our buddy Brian here, Brian Feld. He gives a super sticker, and I saw him on Saturday. Brian came to AAW on Saturday.
Nice. He
came there. Loving Weed Brian was there on Saturday. He's such a nice guy. He comes up. We're to
support the brand, man.
Oh, he comes up to me every every show at AAW, and he says hello, and he, you know, says how you doing. He always puts the show over. I really, really appreciate him. He's such a nice guy. You know, Brian is a really, really nice dude. And he told me, he's like, I've already watched 104, 105, 106. I'm already ahead of you guys. I'm ready. And I'm like, shit.
And then, dude, you know what we got to do? Because I know we have, I know we've got a few people that do support us that are semi-close to us, closer to you, but still within driving range of me. Dude, we should set up a time that we get like Brian, Justin.
Where's Justin at?
Justin.
He's in Chicago. No, he's in like Southern Illinois. I always forget where he's at.
Is he okay? Because he just posted a picture in the Discord, D-back about going to where did we go for pizza? I keep forgetting the name of the place.
Giordano's.
Giordano's. He posted a picture of some Giordano's, and I'm like, oh, I love the Giordano. We missed the Giordano's.
I always forget where he's from. I met him once. I always forget. I got a picture with him. He had AAW. I forget what town he's from exactly. I can never freaking remember. But Justin, remind me if you're in here. I don't know if he's in here today, but yeah, you're right, Jay. Little Giordano's meetup. I think people will be down. Hell, if Bonifer would drive his ass up from Southern Indiana, even we can make this happen. That'd be cool. Oh,
dude, I would love to do this. I really would, because it's been I was just looking at some stuff on that New Japan news on the New Japan show that's hitting the Odeon where we were all 3 years ago now.
3 years, man.
3 years ago for Bound for Glory. And that's when we had the Giordano's, man.
It's been three. Man, I swear the last two feel like they didn't even happen. You know, like. The Panini years don't even feel like they happened. I swear to God, like it is so freaking weird how those two years in a weird time warp feel like they felt like 2 years felt like maybe 6 months. It's insane. Hell yeah, man. Anyway,
crazy. But
yeah, we'll arrange something. We'll arrange something. Maybe to celebrate the end of the Asylum years, we'll do that. How about that? Maybe we can.
There you go.
You know, we got about 7-8 weeks till then. And then we're going to transition it to something else. I got a couple ideas I'm going to run by the boys on what we're going to do for that. But maybe to celebrate that, we can do something. So, but yeah, anyway, we're going to talk about Impact number 7. Jay, any news, any business you want to mention at the top? Any breaking news? Nothing breaking Impact, right?
I don't think. I mean, there's been little things here and there, but it's more kind of spoilerish as far as what came out of the tapings from this past weekend, like people backstage and stuff like that. I don't want to really get into that. Other than that, I don't really think there's not too much.
I can really quickly mention AAW on Saturday was just unreal. Talk about a show that kind of had a lot of bumpiness leading to it. Yeah, you know, just internally, like production wise, we just had stuff we were dealing with as a company.
Oh, it's the times, dude. It's
but we got to it, man. And holy shit, dude! I gotta say, guys, there's a wrestler named Big Beef Gnarls Garvin. He had a shot against Fred Yehi. Fred, as we know, is an ultimate machine. Okay, like that's that guy's ridiculous.
Oh, he's one of the best on your brand right now. Former champ.
Yeah, he's incredible. This is the match that Truck will know. Truck was raving about this. Guys, I swear to you, find this match. Please go watch it. It's worth the $12 on Fight TV. I got to sit there at the production booth, and everybody in the room lost their ever-loving fucking minds. It was story and action like you wouldn't believe. It's unreal. I cannot emphasize it. And I swear to God, Beef, who I never met. I did a promo with him earlier. He comes through back. I go, I am so fucking proud of you. And he's like, really? I was like, dude, you just got over like that. This Chicago just took you right now. When I go online, everybody's raving about it. I mean, Fred is just like Fred, I mean, that it's just, dude, it's an unreal match. Unbelievable match.
I have to see it.
It's something that you're like, when it hits and you're like, well, what's going on here? You know? So, good shit. But the whole show, top to bottom, good stuff. The only match
was there any like big major changes to the card because of stuff?
Or? Yeah, huge change was Sky and Christy for the women's title never got to happen after we hyped the shit out of it. Sky was injured. She claimed she had injury. Somebody said she worked Jade Cargill before this, and I think something happened during that match. She was injured. So then we're scrambling, thinking, well, what are we going to do for Christy Janes? We hyped the shit out of this match. Do we, you know, does she forfeit the title? Do we pick up the belt from her? Because she lives in Chicago. You know, I was like, anything. I'm like, do we get the belt? Do we, you know, hold it up and, you know, do a up for grabs type of match? Whatever, you know, everything going through our heads, trying to last minute fix this. And then Christy Janes' flight got canceled. So neither one of the women were there. So we're gonna lift and port the match over to April. But the big announcement was made for Impact fans. Eric Young is making his AAW debut April 29th at Never Say Die. Eric fucking Young is coming, man.
I'm psyched.
And I can't wait to just have a moment. I've talked to Eric. I've met Eric several times, but I'm in my house. I got to just tell him, hey, like, if I had to produce Eric Young, I got to sit in on it. I got to do lighting on a segment with him once, but actually get to produce Eric Young, to me, is going to be a very special moment. And
oh, totally, dude.
I've told the story to people before. He is the first wrestler in Impact, TNA, to really connect with me as a fan. Early days, like when Twitter first came out, like, oh, 06, I want to say.
Yeah.
He followed me and we talked back and forth. And I was like, he was the first guy to fucking give a shit, you know, really give a shit. And I never forgot that, man. To me, it always meant something. And that's why I always loved Eric Young because of it. So, that was special to me. He's always had a special place in my heart because when I was in the big fan time of TNA, like fandom, you know, I saw him through the asylum and then this is 06, they're already in Orlando. And he's like the first fucking guy from the roster to like connect to me and then like talk and like, hey, grab pizza in Chicago someday and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, man, fucking Eric Young, man. You know? So, and another guy I like to say, I think we're roughly a couple years apart. I think he's like closer to Mark's age, but like, I feel like I grew up with the guy, you know, you see him in the asylum, we're watching the asylum and he's a kid, you know? And I'm like, I watched the entire run to today. You know, like I feel like I grew up with the guy.
Oh yeah, I mean he's gone through. It's one of those guys we say Young's done everything in the company from doing goofy ha ha stuff to you know tag titles, world titles.
Playing a psychopath, playing a fucking cult leader.
Yeah, huge heel. Intergender goofy shit. I mean, he's done everything.
Dude, he's so underrated for that. The guy can do anything. It's crazy to see. I didn't know he's a drummer too, Adam. That's awesome, man. That's pretty interesting.
That is.
Very cool. No, I can't wait. Just to have a moment to produce a segment with him is going to be special. It's just going to be special. Like I said, I've met him several times. It's just now he's coming to my house, right? So that's cool. Mike Bennett's also going to be there. Speaking of Impact, Mike Bennett will also be there. Plus Josh, Ace Austin. I mean, it's going to be Impact heavy. April 29th at Bourbon Street. Going to be a real Impact heavy show. So if any Impact fans want to come.
That's a few, you know, it's funny because I heard that one of the main events of the New Japan show 2 weeks before that in Chicago was going to be John Moxley versus Will Ospreay. Mm-hmm. Well, as soon as they announced it, whatever seats they had left, which wasn't many, it was like maybe 20 seats left. They were gone instantly. I checked 24 hours later. Mm-hmm. They were gone. Cause I was going to get some tickets because it's like, that's right before my birthday. Well, now I just found something equally as cool. I think I think I might have to come down there. It's a few days after my birthday, but I think I might have to come down there.
I'll bring my boy. If you're coming to that, you know, obviously your family, that seat's on me. It's your birthday present for me. So you guys come in. Let me know if you're coming.
Aww.
All right, cool.
All right.
Adam's in Lincoln, Illinois. He skipped Raw in Chicago. Yeah, me too. Me too. I was thinking about going though, really, because like, you know, I got some friends. I was gonna call in a couple of tickets. You know, I was thinking about that, but I don't want to be that guy sometimes. But we'll see. Okay. Last time I went to a Raw, I think I went because Nigel McGuinness gave me a few tickets. He's like, are you coming to see the Raw, Mike? And I'm like, yeah, if you're giving me tickets. So he left me a few as a thing. So yeah.
Hey, on Twitch, To Love Impact just subscribed on tier one, and they've been subscribed for 9 months now. Thank you.
I'm guessing To Love is a UK. Because he's got the TNI UK logos there. Oh, he's got the new ones here. Thank you, To Love. Who is To Love? It's somebody we know.
That's
Brian. I think this is Brian, right? This has to be Brian also.
Brian is. I think
Brian's To Love. He's got the shirt, man. I think that's him.
Could be. We'll see.
I love Nigel McGuinness, man. It's my boy, man. Me and him went hiking in Hollywood. He's one of my buddies. I love him. I was huge. It is Brian. I knew it's Brian. I could tell by the selfie.
Oh, it is. Okay, cool. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. Twitch is so quiet with Impact fans ever since they left. So we love all the love we do get from Twitch. So I appreciate that. All right. Let's jump in, Jay. We're gonna kick it off. So this is before we get into NWA TNA 104, which took place on July 21st, 2004. I was on my buddy Dave's couch watching that episode. And Jay, where were you on July 21st, 2004?
I was chasing brats down the street because they jumped off my grill, and you know I probably had. One too many beers, and the neighbors were looking at me funny as my shorts were falling down, and I lost my brats.
This is exactly what happens in Wisconsin. I'm not going to lie to you people. This is exactly how it is in Wisconsin.
It's a thing, you know. I just saw it earlier today because it started getting nice again. Some dude was running down the street and
chasing
brats. There was cops at the end of the street, thank God, because, you know, they squashed the situation quickly. And I just, you know, I just out of my front porch, just looked down the block and tipped my hat to the boys in blue. And I said, hey, thanks for doing your thing.
Hey, we can come get your that there brat there. Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, pal. Can come get your that there brat.
Hey, hey.
All right. But before we jump into that one real quick, Jay is going to run down Impact Wrestling number 7, Fox Sports Net, which was the lead into this show. So quickly, Jay, give me the results on that one. What happened?
All right. July 6th.
Wait, Jay, I have transition music. I have transition, you know, like old-time radio had that. And now Jay Bone with the Impact.
Dude, you gotta do it a little, like, heavier because it's like the two girls that did the announcements during Grease.
And now Jay Bone with Impact Wrestling number 7 leading into NWA TNA 104. There you go, Jay. I bought a kalimba. It's a Japanese thumb piano. It's so beautiful, isn't it?
It is.
I love it.
Can you play some Highway to Hell?
I'm learning. I'm gonna learn. I want to learn like popular. I want to learn like Rock You Like a Hurricane and shit. But go ahead. Run down. Jason, it's a shame that I got this at 104. That's the tragedy of the whole thing. I got it at 104.
Oh God. All right. Team, and speaking of saying that you got that instrument, because we're starting out with Team Japan.
Hey,
Team Japan, and the guy still, look, he doesn't have this freaking sense to like do the Muda thing where you spread the you know, the mist into like the face of your opponent. He still sprays stuff straight up in the air. It's like, no, dude, you're not Triple H. Please stop.
J-Bone, real quick, Justin, $10 for the gimmick fund, my man.
Yeah.
Thank you, Justin. That's so nice of you, man. I got to get more gimmicks now. Oh, that's super, super nice. How sweet is that, man?
Seeing as Justin Miller is here, we got to quick tell him about we got to do the Giordano's because I saw your pick in the Discord.
Yes, Justin. So we're going to plan once at the conclusion of the Asylum years, we're going to do celebratory Giordano's. So let us know, you know, if you want to help arrange a little meetup with us and all that. Well, and remind me again what town you're from. I always forget what part of the city or where he's from. So That's awesome, Justin. Thank you so much, man. That is super nice of you. Much love. Yeah. Here, pick a soundbite, man. I'll play a soundbite for you. It's the least we can do. But don't forget, we also have this.
Stick a carrot in me and call me Frosty.
I'm willing to play that again if you want to. Just saying.
But we love the carrots.
But yes. All right. Let's do it.
Team Japan.
Thank you, Paul.
We love you, Paul. Team Japan versus Triple X. Oh man, this was a lot of fun. You know, as much as you rip on the international stars that come into this brand for it's not a racist thing, it's a fun thing, so don't overthink it. This was a lot of fun. And Triple X wins this one, and Team Canada comes down. The tag division in this brand right now is insane. You got the international ones, you got Japan and Mexico, you got Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said cancel J-Bone.
Cancel J-Bone. Also, thank you, Millard. Thank you for watching AEW on Saturday. Yeah, you can cancel Jay. Adam's canceling you.
I've been doing this for 8 years. You ain't canceling shit.
And now back to J-Bone.
It calms me. Thank you.
He wants a swinger soundbite. I'm gonna give him one real quick.
All right.
At least I can do for the guys. Give him a soundbite here. Where'd it go? Just had a good swinger one pulled up. Oh damn it! Where'd it go? We only have the one in here now, right, Jay? That's it.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Classic. Here we go.
You guys swing.
There you go. Can't go wrong.
There you go.
I just see the one in here now. That's it.
Justin says I'm in Putnam. Putnam. What in the blue hell is Putnam?
Putnam, Illinois.
It's like, hey, I went golfing. Oh, yeah. I was Putnam.
Damn it, J-Bone. He's a bit of ways. He's a little far. He's near the Peoria, the college town of Peoria. And he's on that way. So he's like west of Chicago.
Gotcha.
Pretty far fucking west, to be honest.
Well, so, we'll pick a location and we'll just, some of us got to do a little driving.
We'll figure out maybe Naperville, Jay. Justin, that's a nice kind of midway point for you. So we'll figure it out. All right. Keep going.
Trent said he'd pick me up. What? Oh, okay.
Let's keep going here.
We'll talk about it later. All right. Then we get the debut. Now, this is funny. I haven't seen this guy since the WCW days. We get this Aleister Rouse versus Sabu. Dude, we haven't seen Rouse since he was doing security for Chris Jericho. Isn't that the Rouse?
Oh, A1. A1. That's him. Yeah, that's A1.
A1 didn't do security for Chris Jericho.
No, but Aleister Rouse is A1. From a team who eventually goes to Team Canada.
Well, who did security for Chris Jericho?
What security for Chris Jericho?
You know, back at WCW, their guy there was like
Ralphus, the old man, is dead, by the way. But Aleister Ralphus is the former A1.
Oh, I, I knew that. I was just testing you.
Ralph All is right. the old man who Ralph is who was the WCW truck driver. That's who the, John Riker was his real name. But he died, I believe. He died. I think I can't remember. He actually had like matches and shit. It's just amazing how they turned him into. I can't believe they turned him into what they turned him into. It's but he died 2 years ago.
But rest in peace, Ralphus.
Rest in peace, Ralphus, man.
Now I feel bad.
Yeah, right. you're good.
So this is the guy. No, I know that wasn't Ralphus, but I saw this earlier. I was writing it down, and I'm like, I gotta make the joke while we're live. All right, so yes, this is A1 who eventually goes to Team Canada, if I'm not mistaken. This is another one that was trained by Coach DeMore.
Yes. Yeah, he's a Coach DeMore.
And came down with him. So
there you go.
Mayor.
What is
Mayor, there? Mayor says, J-Bone, bring back the lollipops. You really need it. Yeah,
I know. So. That's elderly abuse.
This proves that elderly abuse in this country is at an all-time high.
It is at an odd.
Oh, geez.
Respect to actually, I think Mayor's older than me. Anyways,
protect your neck, J-Bone.
This was actually a decent match. I was impressed. I mean, we got the classic stuff with Sabu. He's bouncing all over the freaking place. In fact, this is where the cover came from, because then post match he does the, you know, like
he's the mocking of Raven. Yep.
Yeah, like he's it's like he's calling him out. You know, because Sabu never says shit. He just does stuff.
Yep.
So, but I was impressed with Ralphus. Alistair Ralphus. All right. Alex Shelley with Goldilocks and Abyss versus a debuting Roderick Strong.
Yeah, Roddy. This was during the partnership with Ring of Honor. That was broken because of what happened with Feinstein and everything. But this is when they were trained. I mean, remember, Austin Aries came in as the Austin Star.
Yes.
I believe Joe did like a pre-signed appearance like this too, like a trade type of thing. And they did some stuff. But Roddy and Austin were working both ends. I mean, AJ was working Ring of Honor at this time. You know, they were going back and forth, man. A lot of trade. I always wondered what would happen if Roderick Strong had a run in TNA, like a proper run.
Yeah, he didn't stay too long, because I remember like one of the first matches I saw is a few weeks later after this, I think somewhere down the line, was AJ versus Roderick Strong. And yep. I was just an instant fan. I was like, wow, I'm still a fan. I mean, now granted, I don't watch his NXT stuff, but the guy can still go. Roderick Strong is still one of the best wrestlers around today. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's an incredible talent. I feel like it's been, you know, he's been kind of shadowed by so many other people in the recent years, but the guy's awesome.
He is. Yeah. He is. Hey, he's getting his WWE money. I'm happy for him. You know,
That's it. Oh, do I have a date to debut on Raw? I guess I missed the text from Vince. April 4th. I'll be on. Rob Feinstein does look like Tom Byron. For those who know what Tom Byron is, Jay, don't Google Tom Byron. But Dave and I wants A1 and Ralphus side by side. You got it. I'll work on that while Jay's running the rest of Impact 7 down. Go ahead, Jay.
Nice. All right. Alex Shelley wins this one with a brain buster. And he and Goldilocks kind of wander off, and Abyss is left standing there like he misses his Goldie, you know? And she's paying all this attention to now her new little, what the hell do they call him? The bear cub? Something?
Baby bear. Alex Shelley of all people. You know what I mean? Like, that's interesting.
Right? But he's so damn good here. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Shelly's, I mean, this whole thing going on is very interesting. But a young Alex Shelley, man.
Yeah.
All right, Jay, let me share this screen real quick. Let me just so you guys can see the side by side, just so J-Bone here can get it straight. on who's boy. Ralphus and who's Aleister Ralphs. All right. J-Bone, this right here is A1, a.k.a. Aleister Ralphs. That's him right there.
Right.
Ralphus is that. That is Ralphus with Jericho Personal Security.
Wow.
I can see the resemblance. It's just
the hairline's a little, you know.
A little bit.
What's funny is Ralphus actually looks like he's related to me with the hairline.
A little bit more. You got more teeth than Ralphus, though.
I got a few more teeth.
Isn't it crazy to think Ralphus has four matches on Cage Match and on Nitro, Thunder, and pay per view? This guy's on. He got pay per view money, man.
Unbelievable. Crazy. It looks like First Saban Knight is a fan of the Baby Bear gimmick here.
Yeah, let's see.
we'll God.
We'll get into that. But go ahead, finish up Impact 7 here.
All right, yeah, we're getting there. Next we get Lex Lovett. Not familiar with Lex Lovett.
Lex Lovett was an Orlando jobber in a sense, yeah.
Okay.
Let's see what he's doing right now.
Well, he bit the dust. He faced Monty Brown. Monty Brown's just on a roll here, man. He's just killing people.
Monty's like on another level during this point.
He's amazing. Jeff Hammond with Jarrett. I fast forward this. I feel like Jeff Hammond is like more bland than a cheese and ham sandwich.
The race car driver, right? Jeff Hammond.
Yeah. Well, he's an announcer or something, or I don't know what he just, I just can't with Jeff.
They love those NASCAR thing storylines, man. But go ahead.
He's down south, and you know we're taking about another left turn, and we're talking to Jeff Jarrett here, and I'm just like, nope, fast forward. God this damn shit.
It! I guess that shit would drive me nuts. Go ahead.
So next we got Shane Douglas talking to Kazarian and Michael Shane and Tracy, and they're going out to the ring next to face AMW for the main event of this episode 7, and they win. After a time limit draw, and Dusty Rhodes has to give the ruling on it.
Oh,
they have to go to him backstage. And I mean, AMW was a half a second away, and just oh man, crazy.
All right. That it? That was the main?
That's it.
All right. Lex Lovett, for those interested, had 27 TNA matches. His last one being 2006, him and Buck Quartermain, who was another fixture in Orlando, lost to Team 3D 2006. He's still active, hasn't worked since 2018, though. So I guess he's not active, but he's not considered retired. So that's Lex Lovett.
Says Punk Nova Trace, thank you for the super sticker, but it's, He even got to drive this opinion further with the hashtag John Schuyler sucks.
I think it's Eric here, Punk Nova Trace. I think it's his birthday today. It's happy birthday to Punk Nova Trace.
Happy birthday. Schuyler does not suck.
He sucks. It's happy birthday though. For him, for his sake, we'll say he sucks as well. I don't like him though. But yeah, thank you very much, Eric. Appreciate that. All right, let's get on with it. Let's get on. NWA TNA number 104, July 21st, 2004. We open the show. They're showing AJ is injured. They're wrapping his knee. They're not sure if he's going to compete or not, and they kind of tease that. Going to the opening right away with a match. Abismo Negro and Mr. Aguila, Team Mexico versus Triple X. It's Christopher Daniels and Elix Skipper. They kind of run down like all of Triple X's like accomplishments in July of the year. It's only been 3 weeks in July at this point. And they've reunited. I'm on contendership. Bunch of wins. So they just keep highlighting how well they're doing. Thank you, Adam, for the super sticker, man. $4.99 super. Thank you so much. Thank
you,
buddy.
Amazing.
Hey, you know, I got to send some good wishes to my buddy Adam here. He had some recently a little health thing going on. But Adam, hope you're doing good, man. Everybody show him some love. He had a little bit of an up and down, but people might remember Adam Impact. Him and his lovely daughter Emily showed up on our show a couple years ago. They were on the watch along.
Oh yes, Adam Impey. Yes, yeah,
that's the Adam Esrae. That's him.
Okay, so, okay.
A little bit of a health scare recently, but he's doing. He's back on the mend. So Adam, thank you, my brother. We appreciate that.
Good.
And man, we love Emily. She's such an adorable little kid. So she's not little. Yes. She's growing up. I recently, she had a big swim meet. She was doing raising some money for her team. You know, all this stuff. So yeah, she's almost a young lady now, man. We saw when she was a little kid.
They grow up quick, man. It's
yeah.
You put those phone books on top of them, and they just knock Keep them going. Off.
So there's a lot going on for Triple X here. The winner of this match kind of confirms number one contendership. They mentioned Russo, not there due to personal reasons. Triple X wins, number one contenders. They all shake hands afterwards. Any thoughts on this one, Jay? I feel like this was a pretty standard match, but they were just looking to make Triple X look good.
Abiso Negro and Mr. Aguilar, just a great. I mean, I could gush on and on about Triple X, but we know how good they are.
Yeah.
But Team Triple A here, or Team Mex, or whatever you want to call them.
Triple A Mex?
Yes. Team Mex, they can. I don't know. Abiso Negro, Mr. Aguilar. Hey, Mr. Aguilar actually wore some like non see-through pants.
Jay's always really impressed with Aguilar's ass is covered.
God, dude, anything to not see that neon orange thong close up in the camera. Just, I'm serious. It's like we love them, but come on, just seriously. It's time to, you know, put some real pants on. Oh, and I was on Amazon the other day, just like looking through stupid like wrestling shirts for sale. And I happened to find a group that was selling Lucha Libre t-shirts, and they were selling like Blue Demon, Psychosis, Bestia 666, and they had a ton of Abismo Negro shirts. And
this I was recently? Like,
yeah, I was just looking at them yesterday. Yeah.
What site is this? Plug the site.
It's on Amazon. You just look up any like specific wrestler, and then you just, you know, Lucha Libre t-shirts, and you're bound to find them.
You can get delivered with Prime. Okay.
There you go.
That's interesting. They might be sold by Master Public, I believe. Is that who was selling them?
No, but they also do sell them.
Because Master Public is a big seller of Lucha stuff. I believe it's run by Kevin Kleinrock, who was a big hand in Lucha Underground, also Wrestling Society X. Kevin Kleinrock's been around the Lucha scene. He's an agent for a lot of these guys, too. So look them up. But yeah, keep going. Go ahead, Jay. So, any other thoughts on that? Anything else on this standard opener, right?
Yeah, just a hot opener, great tag action, and it's great pants.
They show a plane at the airport. They said Jeff Hardy has arrived. He is here. An airplane, a private jet. How do you want to think? Now I'm wondering. At this time, they were rolling in some money. At this time, they were throwing money around a lot. Now, part of me wants to, I hope that they didn't blow a bunch of money and just actually fly them in on a private jet, a charter, and they just took a camera to the local airport and just filmed a plane sitting there. But
no, it had a TNA sticker on it.
Yeah, did it really?
you looked at the door on the side, and it said TNA.
Oh, well, I said, okay, look, maybe they went to the airport and said, can we just take a shot of this plane, put our logo on it real quick? I really want to hope they didn't pay like 10 grand to fly this guy in on a charter, man. That would bother me. We go to Scott Hudson with Monty Brown. The promo here, J-Bone, absolutely fucking incredible. Go ahead and talk about this.
I thought he was going to kill Hudson.
But he was so good.
Hudson's trying to lean in with the microphone, and he's talking with his hands, and Monty Brown just keeps swapping his hand away, and Hudson's like, what the hell, dude? I'm trying to do my job here. Settle down.
But then he threatens everybody in this. I loved how he went down the list. Did you anything stick out on the ones he went down the list on?
Oh yeah, he goes AJ Styles.
He's like Truth. He's like mocking the way the Truth walks, and he talks about God, who else has he mocked? Jeff Jarrett. And he mocked everybody. That's always the greatest thing. And then
he mocked Raven.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like,
And then Truth comes in and he's like, come on.
Truth was
he's
great.
Like, he's like, listen here, Alpha Stale. Like, call him Alpha Stale. And the Monty was like, he's like, you're delusional. Monty's like, I'll take you on. He's like, hell, I'll take on all three. I'll take on your little buddies over there too. And then Conan comes in. He's like, you got a death wish, motherfucker. And like, he was all pissed off.
Conan was hot. Jump security, everything.
Everything. So it was a big brawl, pull apart. Went right from that to Vito and Pat Kenny video recap. And then the Sicilian street fight. Vito with Trinity versus Irish Pat Kenny. This was I like Vito. Something about Big Vito really, I like that he's very character-y, very cliche mob boss character-y, right down to the Godfather music. You know, it was really cool.
I like it that it's a fresh character in the brand because, exactly. I mean, we've been talking about the same people for a while, and we get people coming out here and there, but it was nothing that, like, hey, whatever happened to, you know, we don't have any of those conversations. We don't have many of those. Now we got a fresh guy like Vito coming in, and he's just, it's like, whoa, this guy means business. He's ready to, you know.
I like that it's just, even though it's a cliche, you know, mob boss, Italian guy character, it's fun. You know, it's very, he's there to clean up the mess that Gilberti and Swinger left and all that. I always thought that was fun.
He's doing it well.
He is. Vito is a character actor in that sense, you know? That's why I like that. I always like that he's a very much a character actor. And I think he plays his stuff really well. Always has. Guy even played a German one time, right? Like a German military guy once. He's good at what he does, man. Good at what he does. Vito wins. Nice little brawl afterwards. The black shirts come out. Heavy D kind of faces off with Vito to stop him. So that's pretty much it. I'm not sure if the feud's over or what, because that was kind of like, if you wanted to keep it going, you would have schmozzed it out a little more. But Don Harris getting involved, I don't know. Maybe that they're pivoting to Don. I'm guessing. What do you think?
Ooh, yeah, that's could be. But I love the name of the finisher, Trent. It's the DDT is called the Luca Brasi.
I like that it's the Luca Brasi.
I have no idea what a Luca Brasi is, but it was effective.
The Luca, you know, Luca Brasi is called, Dave, you do know what Luca Brasi is.
I do.
Think about this. You know what Luca Brasi is. You know who Luca Brasi is?
There was a song named Luca, but then you throw Brasi on it.
Luca Brasi is Don Corleone's bodyguard or like enforcer from The Godfather. It's his like his savage ass, like his hitman, basically.
Oh, it's his muscle.
His muscle. He was his muscle.
Okay.
Luca Brasi. That was it. That's I mean, it's weird. He's named the finisher after a hitman. But it's like, this is the Luca Brasi, you know.
Oh, it's a cool name. So yeah. There you go.
I believe he's the one that gets killed by the piano wire. I think. Anybody a Godfather Mark in here? I believe he's the one who gets he gets choked out by the piano wire. So that's him.
Rough.
But he's the one where like the term gonna be sleeping with the fishes, that's where it kind of originated somewhat, was in popular culture.
Was oh Luca that Brasi. That term, okay. Yeah. That I know that one.
Luca Brasi.
In fact, I was just about to say that earlier.
We go to Scott Hudson with David Young at this point. He's on the phone with Glenn, you know, Swinger, my man Swinger right here. Swinger's there flexing. Titties, coconuts.
I know David Young was talking, but I didn't listen to a word he said because I couldn't stop looking at Swinger's coconuts.
He's got the great coconuts. He's flexing them. Yeah,
I can't flex my coconuts, but man, Swinger can flex his coconuts.
So the thing is, they're playing up that Glenn is basically lying about being stuck in customs at in Hawaii. That's why he can't be there for the match. And he's like, what are you talking about? It's a state. You can't get caught in customs for out of state. And, and he's like, I got to go out there alone. Gosh darn it. David Young's all pissed off and shit about this.
But yeah, my nephew Paul was giving him a noogie in Hawaii.
Hey, there you go. So they go out for that. The match ends up being David Young and Swinger against Mike Posey, Sharkboy, and D-Ray 3000.
Oh, my God.
Jay, the crowd is bananas for Mike Posey. Why? Can you tell me why?
Well, because Posey represents the little guy who gets bullied and picked on and bullied and picked on. And that was me in grade school. So I would totally, and I went to a little Lutheran school, and I was bullied constantly. Dude, I couldn't wait till high school. High school, it was all bitches galore. No, I'm kidding. But
Wait a minute. This guy?
Jiminy Christmas.
Bitches galore? That guy?
No, not really. No, but at least.
I have seen that penis.
Wow. One more time.
Jiminy Christmas.
All right, go on.
There we go. I couldn't wait till high school because it was just a whole, it's like everyone who bullied me didn't go to my high school. That's why I loved it. It was a fresh start.
Look at this from Sabanite. Fun fact, Luca Brasi, the actor who played Luca Brasi, was actually a pro wrestler. What was his wrestling? I didn't even know.
Interesting.
The actor was, who was it? It was something, Lenny something. I forgot his last name. But was he a wrestler? I didn't know that. Interesting.
Wow.
No idea. Huh. No idea. I'm going to look him up in the meantime. Look at this. Central States NWA guy. No shit. Lenny Montana. Lenny Passafaro was his real name. No fucking kidding. He actually
that's a great name too.
Was actually in the mob. No kidding. Yeah, he was in the mob. Look at that. Grizzly Smith, Gypsy Joe, who just died a little while ago. No shit, man. Joe. Gypsy Joe had a very famous run-in with New Jack, if anybody remembers. Gypsy Joe. Thank you again, Sabanite, for the other one. Lenny Montana. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you, Punk, for the $2 tip. Thank you.
Thank you. Here's another fun fact by Sabanite. Here we go. Mike Posey used to get booed by the crowd during dark segments until we randomly decided to turn him face every week. The Saban section made Mike Posey's career. We are owed royalties. You know what? Sabanite, you have to agree with me. He is like the worst goddamn referee of all time. The guy fucking sucked. The guy fucking sucked as a referee. And I can't believe it bothers me he's on TV today with AEW. I can't believe he's on TV.
He's improved a little. A little.
Not great. I admittedly don't watch, but he's sucked. He's absolutely sucked.
It just shows that Tony Khan is more like us than you think, because he's watching all these same episodes that we watched either back then or now. And he's like, oh my God, I can hire that Posey. Oh shit. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Dude. He's, I don't know. I don't know, man. He absolutely has no idea what he's fucking doing. To me, Mike Posey looks confused as shit.
Posey's clothes are too big, says
they are, man. They are too big for him. Oh, okay.
Well, that's that. You can blame that on D-Ray. D-Ray said, yeah, man, you got to wear a big shirt just like my big fro.
Fear the fro, man. Fear the fro. All right. Let's see what happened after this one. So this is a 2-on-3.
David Young is officially, after this match, 0-87. Big dude. Numbers on the screen, too, is hilarious.
Huge, huge numbers. I love that, he's throwing a fit. Tanae and West are just playing into it. They're just having such a blast with it. But 0-87, Posey beats Young. David gets in the mic, challenges Posey next week, and says, if he doesn't win, I'm going to leave forever. So, that was it, man. He was done. He was fucking done. Limo pulls up. Dusty gets out. He goes, it's going to be a good night in Nashville. And it's just Dusty, though. Just Dusty in the limo. That's it. Then we go to Scott Hudson, with Goldilocks and the baby bear, Alex Shelley. Goldie's talking in a British accent because she's going through a personality crisis and could care less where Abyss is at. Because Scott's like, where's Abyss? What about Abyss? She goes, I'm with the baby bear. You know, he's the only man in my life. You know, and she's like, just going on and on about like how
she's all hoity-toity.
Very hoity-toity. She's like a flapper almost, like a British flat. She's in a weird costume. I don't know what's going on with her, man. But she's like, oh, Abyss can find his way. He's a grown man, blah, blah, blah.
She's wearing that authentic rabbit.
Yes. And then she's saying how like she has a bunch of money and she just wants to keep collecting contracts. So she's like, all right, I'm going to put up my money for more contracts. Anybody wants it, come get my money. I want your contract. And D-Ray stumbles in like, damn, I'll take some money. Shit. You know, and she's like, there you go. There's another one right there. And he's like, Scott Hudson's like, D-Ray, you sure you want to take, you want to put up your contract? He's like, I want some money, man. And he's like, she can own you. He's like, I don't know. I want some cash. And he just stumbles away. It's like, he's just like stoned out of his fucking mind. Whatever.
Feel the fro.
Feel the fro. He's like, feel the fro? Like, what are you talking about? No DQ, false count anywhere match, Abyss versus Sabu. Jay, I want to let you start this one off because this is something special.
Oh, I absolutely loved this. This was a classic. And I know these guys have probably had umpteenth more matches throughout their tenure in TNA, but damn, these two just knocked the shit out of each other.
It was like a shoot, like a freaking shoot, dude. That's what this match was.
It went all over the place, and they weren't afraid to like knock a few people over too. So I mean, they weren't ridiculous with it, but you know, Sabu would go flying over the railing or something. It's like, oh, hey, look out, you know.
Dude, the thing about this was, if you think about it, these two had the first Monsters Ball, right? Later on, like a year later. So they've had, keep in mind, Sabu is like an OG of the hardcore style in the U.S. Abyss is like the new generation of it next to Sabu.
So
he's inspired by guys like Sabu and Mick Foley and all that. So he's kind of, this is a nice, it's kind of a historic type of match, but the story in this one is insane. This one's nuts. This one's nuts. Go ahead, Jake. Keep going with this one.
And this one drags all the way back to that hallway by the, I'm guessing what's one of the main exits or entrances or whatever. They get the tables involved, and Sabu quick jumps up, puts Abyss through one of the tables. Then he sets up another table real quick, gets Abyss on top of that one. And quick runs up another stairwell, and the lights go out.
Dude, yeah. So lights, and they're out for a while. They're kind of out for a long time.
Right. You see little flickers and flashes of cameras, and you can see Sabu's white pants, but you can't tell what's going on. And all of a sudden, the lights come back on, and he's practically hanging off the ledge by a noose, and Raven's there.
Dude, this was crazy. He had a noose around him, and he lets him go. Sabu falls on top of a table. He doesn't break through it, though. That's right. The crazy thing.
Yeah. It was just flat on top of the table. The table didn't break because he landed just perfectly. Yeah.
Dude, it's kind of nuts, though, because, like, he lands Abyss then elbow drops him right through the table.
No, Raven does.
Raven did. Okay, that's what I thought.
Raven was up too high, came around the corner to where,
that's right,
to where Sabu was, and then it wasn't like a huge drop, but it nonetheless went through the table. Yeah,
and then he just elbow drops, and Abyss makes the pin, and that's the end of that. So, yep. Pretty intense match, I gotta say. This was an intense match.
Oh, the steel chairs getting bent over Abyss's head. My God.
Dude, yeah, it was nuts. No, Art, you know what else? We're thinking about getting her back pretty soon. Probably on that one or the one after, like the week following the end, we're going to get her back.
There you go.
Paul, I think Sabu's like 60, I want to say. 60.
Yeah, he's no spring chicken, but he's not wrestling a lot. He's making appearances, but I don't think he's wrestling a lot
anymore. No, he kind of got down after his wife died, but he's around, you know. Yeah. I just recently ordered, I got his book in my in my Amazon cart. I got to pick up his book.
There you go.
So yeah, let me.
He's got some new shirts on PWTs too.
Does he? Okay, cool. Yeah, support Sabu, man.
There you go.
Definitely support Sabu, guys. All right, so where are we at next? Let's see here. We go into last Scott Hudson on this one. Scott Hudson.
Oh, he got paid tonight.
Kaz and Michael Shane, they're talking about how they're getting first crack at AJ. Well, Shane Steinheiser getting first crack. AJ shown with Jerry Lynn kind of wrapping the leg and seeing if he can go or not, the trainers and everything. They're just kind of talking about the upcoming match. Then it's the match, Michael Shane and Kaz with Tracy against Jerry Lynn, and he takes Chris Sabin as his partner, so because AJ's not cleared. So solid match, though, man. I mean, I thought this was really – I mean, X Division and tag team on fire right now, on fire at this point.
Yeah, and Jerry Lynn can still go. Sabin's, like, on – he's still in there, but he's not a main focus.
Yeah.
But he's still, you know, he's still on fire. And Kaz and Michael Shane just look great together. They just click.
They do, man. They have an interesting chemistry. You know, it's funny. I've never heard Kaz ever talk about this portion of his career. And he was pretty much attached to Michael Shane for a good while, like during all this. You know what I mean? Like
first couple years. I know when I first started watching, they had matching gear and everything. They came out to that with the lime green gear on, and they were hot.
Does he ever talk about? Has anybody ever heard him talk about this? I've never heard him talk about this time of his career at all, Kaz. Like, he never mentions the Michael Shane years at all or anything. You remember? You recall that, Jay? I don't recall him saying anything.
I don't think. No, I haven't seen many. I haven't seen many interviews with Kaz. In fact, if he is talking about Michael Shane, he's probably...
Which one's Jay?
Yeah, probably. Why is Michael Shane so forgotten? I mean, he didn't have any heat. He didn't have any heat, you know? Like, why is he so forgotten? I mean, Sabanite, let me ask Sabanite here. He might know. Sabanite, do you know? What's the story with Michael Shane, man? What was the vibe? I mean, do you know anything about him? I mean, Sabanite was also in the business, guys. So he has some insight, too. This is a guy who, I swear to God, has like disappeared off the face of the fucking earth.
And why did he change his name like three times?
I know his cousin, Shawn Michaels, got pissed about the name because he's like, Michael Shane sounds too much like Shawn Michaels. So he made him change the name to Matt Bentley. And I think that derailed his fucking career a ton. You know, because you built up a few years as Michael Shane, and then you went to Matt Bentley. Fine. But he went to WWE for a bit, and then that was it. I don't know what the fuck this guy does. I saw him pop back up on a GFW show 2013 I went to in Iowa, and that was it. And I was like, holy shit, it's Michael fucking Shane. They were just being like the one guy in the crowd going, fuck yeah! X, Ultimate X winner, fucking Michael fucking Shane.
He turns around. Who the hell?
He's like, thank you.
yeah, somebody remembers.
Adam, he was on SmackDown Velocity. Then he disappeared. I never heard anything about him afterwards. I don't know what happened to this guy. And he's not online. He's nowhere. Like, he's nowhere. Anybody has any insight to him? I would love to interview him, honestly. Like, there's certain guys who are big on the fucking asylum time who just, they don't get the credit for the asylum time. He's all over the fucking asylum, man. Here we go. Sabin and I. Michael Shane was, that's a tough guy to really pin down. The name change for sure didn't go well because the name was generic and boring, but then wasn't he a random Raven like, yes, in Serotonin? Yes. With Kazarian, Johnny Devine, and another, and, yes. Did he have another name change around this time? I can't remember. But.
I don't remember. The Serotonin thing was one of the last runs of Raven in the company.
Yeah,
he wore like all white and Kazarian. Yeah, so
yeah,
I mean, it was kind of the gimmick really didn't last too long. I dug it because it was something different.
It was different. I don't mind.
It was a fresh start for some of the other guys who had been doing the same thing for the last like 2 to 3 years on the brand.
Yeah.
But Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
I can't remember what the hell they called them. I think they changed. Did they change all the guys' names for that Serotonin?
I don't think so. I thought Kazarian stayed Kazarian. You know,
maybe that's when they made him Kaz or something. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't recall. I'm trying to think what else that could have been. I don't recall. But here's Faves, a little more from Saban on here. He never really took bookings elsewhere either. Wasn't a Ring of Honor beyond 2002. Wasn't a PWG. Really over in TNA. He's just a TNA guy, man. And I don't know. Maybe he got derailed, but you got to remember the guy's he's the first Ultimate X winner. He's a former champ. I mean, I don't know. I hate guys being forgotten and them thinking their careers weren't shit either. You know, it's like, you might not have been a huge star, but you still got a place in time.
Yeah.
He's one I'd love to get on the show just to talk to him.
That'd be a deep dive or whatever. Yeah.
It would be. Well, let's keep going here. Yeah, so AJ's not clear. Obviously, Saban jumps in for him. Solid match back and forth. AJ does come out and kind of gets on the apron, distract Kaz. Jerry makes the pin. They get pissed off. They knock AJ down, broken leg and all, whatever. He's hurt on the inside. He ends up getting inside with the crutch, breaks it on, I think, Shane. And then he challenges both of them. He goes, how about this? Forget your one at a time. How about you both take me on Ultimate X? And he points out something interesting here. At this point, AJ had never been in an Ultimate X, and they've had about four at this point, I want to say.
This next one is number four. And yeah, he's never been in one.
When
it was created, he was world champ, wasn't he?
He was. He was world champ when it was created. He was out of the X division. Because that's what the other guys were all holding it down.
Right.
So AJ in his first Ultimate X against Kaz and Michael Shane. And I recall the finish of this one. I remember this is a big one. Saban, you probably know this too. Big one. It's an interesting finish. And this one is fun. This one's a fun one to watch. I'm actually excited to watch this one next week.
I can't wait. I mean, all the Ultimate X's are, you know, memorable to some degree.
I vividly remember this finish, and I know this is going to be fun. So another little insight from Sabanite here. Honestly, it's just me. He never really seemed to get better. I always wondered if he was one of those guys that only wrestled because that's what he was best at, but he didn't really love it. I don't know. It was always weird. That's an interesting take. I feel like I always kind of felt like he didn't truly love it either, or I don't think he loved the grind.
Oh, next one down.
There we go.
Read that. There we go. No, for Sabanite, he's got one more. He's got more insight on the Raven gimmicks.
Oh, they called him Martyr. That's right. Divine was Havoc. Kaz got shortened to Kaz. That's it. That's what it was. Kazarian became Kaz. Martyr. That's you're fucking right, man. This is interesting. How the hell?
I remembered a portion of it. They're going to my brain cells.
Yes, you guys are right. Adam's saying, all right, random, how the hell did the Crockett Cup not draw a real house yet the Asylum packed them in the building? What was papered? From what I know is it's not the same building because the original Asylum is torn down. It's building number 3, which is in the back of the fairgrounds. I think it's a different building. It's that one that they used for some segments on the Asylum years where they had the other ring set up, I believe, where they jumped like Pat Kenny and shit like that. Raven was training in there, so it's the other building. But I had a buddy who was there last night from Chicago. He's down there. He sent me a shit ton of pictures. Said the house looked pretty good. I don't know if they papered it. I have no idea. But looked like a fucking hot crowd, though, man. I got to give it to him. Nashville brings it, though, man. They got good fans down there.
Oh, sure.
Oh, sure. Yeah, those fans in Nashville, they got a great they got some great bratwurst and some Michelob Ultra down in Nashville. Michelob Ultra. Fuck. Where'd I pull that one from?
Holy shit.
Definitely not a Wisconsin beer. so that'll be next week, and we go back to Scott fucking Hudson with Raven. He's asking Raven
where
he's
been. This isn't even the last time either. Damn.
No. This is Raven coming back with the mustache that he had when he was on Sunday Night Heat. Raven, where have you been? Blah blah blah. Just very Raven promo. He keeps saying fight or flight, Sabu. Fight or flight, Sabu. Welcome to the Terror Dome. Quote the Raven evermore. But
yeah, this is like four times.
Yeah, fight or flight, four times. The challenge is not for 105. The challenge is for Friday on Fox Sports Net. So yes. He's fighting Sabu in 2 days from here. So this is, that's the thing. You have the two shows running now. It's like, he's not, it's not 1 week. It's like, I'll see you in 2 days. So,
yeah. And that's the thing. It's, and well, that's a sign right there that eventually the asylum sadly is going away.
Yeah, that's true.
Because there was a big green sign. Some girl was holding it during the Impact episode that I was running down. Says, what did I say? Oh, Nashville fears Orlando.
Oh, are you serious? So Saban, I might know about this. Now, he mentioned a couple weeks ago the feud between Nashville and Orlando was starting at this point, right? Like, this was... people are getting upset that you're leaving us like that. I can see, look, if I'm in Nashville, I get it. Like, you want the company to grow, but at the same time, it's like, shit, man, why didn't we get the TV? Why did it go to Orlando? We should have gotten the TV. Yeah. We've been here. We turn out. The crowd is here. We actually pay for tickets. You know, I mean, that's the thing too. Universal. It's like, they weren't paying for tickets down there. So it's, I mean, they were getting paid by Universal, but shit, man. I mean, come on. Like, Nashville's paying for tickets to be there. That's who loves it. So I don't know. I mean, if Saban, like, give me a little insight on that. Is that kind of the mindset of you guys at the time? So yeah, that's starting. And again, they're only 7 weeks out. By the end of the summer, they're gone, because it was definitely done by come back to school. I remember coming back in 2004 at this point. We go to Mike Tenay in the ring introducing Dusty Rhodes for the Jeff Hardy deal close.
Oh, this was fun.
Yeah, good. Take it from there.
This was, yeah, so Dusty Rhodes, he's...
Dusty Rhodes.
He introduces Jeff Hardy. And Jeffrey's got a... He's wearing, like, all white. He's got a bleached goatee. It almost doesn't look like him. He's got his, like, hair dyed black. He's got a visor cap on. And he's dancing all around the ring. Looks, I don't know. He looked a little off, but, you know, this is 2004 Jeff. But he gets in the ring, and he grabs the pen, and he's up on the ropes, and he's pointing. He's like, look, I got the pen. I'm going to sign something. He's just, you know, he's working the crowd.
He's like, pen, sign, and they're like, yeah, and he's like, yeah, should I sign it? He comes down and he's teasing it, you know, pen, sign, like very, very Jeff Hardy with his fucking, you know, gyrations and shit. But go ahead.
Oh yeah, and so then, you know, after a bunch of little teases, he finally, you know, slaps the table, signs it, hands it to Dusty, and then, Bonnie Brown comes down to the ring. He is hot.
Well, before this, Dusty notes that contract is not just a talent contract.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's okay. So that's why Bonnie Brown comes down, and Dusty pulls another contract out, and he says that this one is for Jeff wrestling for the NWA heavyweight championship. And that's when Monty Brown comes down, because he's pissed. He's like, no one's hops, you know, no one's, you know, no skips in line here. He's pissed. And he's just, you could tell, he's like circling the ring, and Jeff Jarrett comes down. And he's pissed about this situation. He doesn't want Jeff there. Obviously, he's threatened here. And Jeff Jarrett is in this stupid tux. He's been
tux? Why? I can figure why he's still in the tux.
Jeff has been sleeping in this tux for like 2 months straight. His wife is like, Jeff, can't you just put on normal pajamas? You've been wearing this tux for weeks now. You smell. It doesn't even look good on you anymore. You smell. Please change your clothes.
It's the same tux that he's like had his ass kicked in and been like all around. Like it's fucking weird. He's still wearing this tux from like four or five weeks ago.
Right. He just ends up putting a guitar over his wife's head. It's horrible.
hey, his wife was sick at the time. Have a heart, Jay Bone.
I'm sorry.
This is before Karen Jarrett, my man. You got to take it easy. I miss you, Jarrett.
I'm sorry.
You are. You're a real jerk there, Jay. You're a real jerk. You know, you I think Don West has something to say to you, and I, if I can find a lot. Jay Bone,
you're nothing but a selfish prick.
Yeah.
So
I forgot Jarrett's wife's name, his first wife. She was real sweet, real sweet. I forgot her name though. Oh, he'll come to me. Go ahead.
Okay. So Hardy gets pounced by Monty. So hey, welcome to TNA, Jeff. And then
dude, he pounced the shit out of him. It was awesome.
Yeah, and yeah, it was a great pounce. Well, all of his pounces are awesome. And then Hardy also gets a guitar shot from Jarrett.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jeff is, whoof. Like I said, welcome to TNA.
Welcome to the company, kid.
Rough night for, one half of the Hardys.
Welcome to the party, pal. Name the movie.
That too. Die Hard.
There you go.
I just watched a special on that. It's on Netflix. The movies that make us, that series. Oh, yeah.
They talk about Die Hard?
Yeah, Die Hard's one of them.
Did they say they call it a Christmas movie or not? It's a big debate. How about everybody in the chat? Is Die Hard a Christmas movie or isn't it?
I think they bring it up. I forget. But it's fun because they talk to everybody involved in the movie with the exception of Bruce Willis.
You know, for these documentaries, it's funny how they can never like get the big star. Like it's like we got the guy who did the fucking vacuuming of the set after the show at the movie was over. It's like we need Bruce Willis to talk about this. Shell the money out. You know,
right?
Adam's an 80s movie expert. All right, Adam Impact,
yes,
is like an 80s movie fucking nut. And if he says it's a Christmas movie, so does Saban. I fight me. Nobody's fighting you. You're jacked. I'm not gonna fight you.
I mean, if they're playing Run DMC Christmas and Hollis, it's a Christmas movie. Okay,
hey, there you go. Real quick here, Jay, a few weeks before the last pay-per-view, they snuck a sign and it said, don't sell us out. That caught us a ton of heat, but a lot of the local workers they used for security popped hard, including Rick Santel. And then they knew for about a month that they weren't coming back after a certain point. Everyone was pretty heated that they wouldn't say anything about it. So they didn't tell anybody. That sucks that they didn't really make a thing out of it. That's what I'm saying. They should have kept Nashville. And then they didn't fucking go back to the asylum for like a long time.
Well, they didn't start touring until like Kurt Angle.
Yeah, dude. It took them a while.
And that touring didn't really work out well. They like canceled it soon after that.
They toured for a bit. They kept booking buildings that were too big for them. That's what they did here. I mean, then they did the last, you know, they did Homecoming 19 in Nashville, which was awesome. But it was like, you guys should have done, in my opinion, they should have done a special every year from Nashville until the thing was torn up. I mean, there was no reason not to go back once a year.
Right.
At least once. You can go back once a year to do a house show, you know, or something. There was no excuse. Because to me, Nashville made the company. That's it. You know, and like Slammiversary, they didn't get a they did get a slam once, I know. Not at the Asylum, but they got one at the one of the arenas, I believe. But I think I might not be right on that, but you know, Texas got a slam, the biggest, huge slam. Maybe Nashville never got one. I just feel like they should not have closed such a door on Nashville like they did. But anyway,
yeah.
But that segment was interesting. Everybody gets fucking beat up, guitar shot and pounced. It was nuts. Fun though. Fun segment.
It was a rough welcoming for Jeff, but it was a fun segment. Yeah.
They're all saying Christmas movie, Jay. They're all saying, this is so true, Adam. It's like when Crockett moved to Dallas. You're so right. That's exactly what it reminded me of. It's so right. Except that in TNA's case, it didn't put them out of business. yeah, last year it was. I'm talking before all this close set shit and last year and all that stuff. I mean, I'm talking before all that. I'm talking between 04 and 2020, I'm talking, Mark. All right. Anyway, everybody's saying it's a Christmas movie for Die Hard. But go ahead, Jay.
Case settled.
Yeah. Oh, hey, we got a great sit down with Mike Tenay and Kid Cash and Dallas. And basically, it's that whole thing about how everybody is getting special treatment, like the AJ Styles and the America's Most Wanted get special treatment around here. I'm disrespecting Mike Tenay's like, why'd you get suspended? I'm not talking about that, Tenay. So we don't even know why Kid Cash is suspended right now.
He goes, we're some ninja juggalos. I'm like,
yeah.
Ninja, that's the one thing I wrote down from this. I'm like,
he says, we're some ninja juggalos. And I'm like, okay. Okay.
So does that mean that Cash and Dallas know about them magnets too?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, Jay. Well, they do. If you're a juggalo, you know about the magnets. That's how it works. And now, back to J-Bone. Go ahead. So, yeah, it was just a quick thing to let you know where Cash is at character-wise. We go to Tenay and West and their breakdown. Don West, Electric Blue on Blue. Scott Hudson with AMW talking about their match tonight. Triple X interrupts them and says they have beat them 4-1 so far. We don't mind if we beat for the tag team titles and make it 5-1. I didn't realize that Triple X has beaten AMW 4 times at this point. So that's interesting. I totally didn't. That slipped my mind completely.
It is.
And then we get an AMW Naturals recap. Great feud. I mean, for two guys who came out of the gut check like the Naturals, the feud's been great. They've built so much heat with the Naturals. It's a good push. I'm going to say it's a great push for them.
It is. For those of you that want a Jeff Jarrett current view on it, and Jeff Jarrett's YouTube page where he does, you know, segments and of his podcast, there's a recent one on there from like the last few days where he talks about why the Naturals never got over.
No kidding, really?
Yeah, that's on there.
What does he say? Can you give me a quick?
I didn't listen to it yet, but that's on there. It's in my like to watch list.
This is so true what Millard is saying here. K Cash is the Kalon of TNA.
Dude, and I gotta say, Cash was incredible in that segment, dude. He looked like he was like he hasn't been around for a while. He looked like he was just itching, ready to go.
Why did the company move to Orlando? Orlando gave him an offer, gave him a big a studio with full production. And I think they did get some kind of payment for it because they're considered an attraction of the park.
And they would have needed to like spruce things up if you're going to TV because you need a professional. If they would have stayed in Nashville, honestly, with a TV deal, yeah, it's a state fair building. It's like Hicksville. It's a great start, hot crowd, but if you're getting TV, you need a kick in the pants like an Orlando studio.
Yeah, it's kind of WCW did the same thing. It's what AEW is doing for some of their stuff now. I mean, you get it. It's a TV studio. You know, that's what I think. It's a studio. Studio wrestling, man. And then I'd love to know why the Naturals never got over. If you know anything about the Naturals, that's what I want to hear about. Now, Chase Stevens is still around. Like he's still in the family. Like he shows up and looks amazing right now. I mean, Chase, I think, looks better now than he did in 04. And he's 20 years older. That blows my mind. But
he's jacked.
I don't know what Andy Douglas is. I would love a Naturals reunion. And that's, and again, forgotten. Left the fuck off in the history. 20th year, and they have not even mentioned the Naturals once. These guys were an important fucking tag team to the company. Like, again, they might not have been big elsewhere. But if you're talking TNA, like the Naturals are a big part of the tag team history of the company. And I have such a big beef with people getting forgotten, their careers getting overlooked. Like, I hate that shit. And I'm like, in a time where 20 years, you should be celebrating everything the company's ever done. Like, how do you leave this stuff off? You don't talk about the Naturals at all. You know, you don't bring up former champions of that time. This, by the way, I saw this comment. Eric saying he's not a fan of the Die Hard movies basically means he's not an American at this point. I mean, that's it. You can't be an American and say you don't like the Die Hard movies. I'm sorry. You're out. All right, Save a night right here. They love the Naturals when they were in town. I know they always wanted to make them the Santel and Vaughn of the homegrown story. It's true. I mean, like, dude, they were good, though. They were a Santel and Vaughn who could fucking go. And this match, I can't wait to talk about this match. Six Sides of Steel, the tag team title match, AMW versus the Naturals. Dude, Triple X is shown watching this. The chemistry off the bat is cuckoo bananas. Like, it is. Like, and I know they worked each other in Wildside and stuff prior to TNA, and they had some history, these guys. Cuckoo fucking bananas. Oh, they're all bleeding.
I didn't know they had that.
Yeah. They had a little history. They all were around that circuit for a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Three of the four are bleeding in the first 3 minutes. Shoot bleeding. They're all smashed up and bleeding. It doesn't happen. Nobody's bleeding that quick. That they're all bloody as fuck in 3 minutes. About 5 minutes after that, Jay, there's an aerial shot of the mat. Did you catch this? The ring mat looks like crime scene. Like fucking crime scene.
Yeah, there's like stains everywhere.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's not like puddles, but you could tell it's like nasty, like with blood stains. Yeah.
It's a crime scene, dude. That's what it looked like to me. It was just, and they are beating the ever loving shit out of each other at this point. And this is what another tragedy here. Travesty of justice. Andy Douglas does a top of cage moonsault.
Oh, that was everybody.
And I had Andy Douglas doing the moonsault.
It was the other guy.
Chase?
That was Chase.
It was Chase? Okay.
It was fine. Chase, yeah. He hits the camera as he's climbing it. The camera's looking down on him, and he goes, his head in the camera goes, oh, sorry.
Adam, if you have still have a link to this Bleacher Report, if this is still up in their archives, please share it. I'd love to see that. Would love to see that happen. But dude, how is that never mentioned? I mean, yeah, the Elix Skipper cage walk obviously is mentioned a ton because it's a walk and it looks nuts.
Sure.
But Chase's moonsault is the first moonsault off of Six Sides of Steel in TNA history. Never spoken of again.
Oh, and this isn't the only spot. And there's like, okay, number one, absolute fact. It's not an opinion. It's a fact. Chase Stevens is a legend in this match. Dude. Number one, the moonsault. Number two, he falls not once, but twice from the top of the cage.
Yeah, he does. Dude, I'm telling you, this is what an overlooked match this is.
Harris falls with him. They both fall like together. They both like crash. And then Chase falls another time later in the match. And then it's just absolute chaos. It's a bloody chaos. All the tag teams are down there. All 12 members of Team Canada are down there clobbering the shit out of everyone. I know it's not 12. I just exaggerated.
Yeah.
But oh my God, it's. They beat the holy hell out of each other, and it's only Andy Douglas and James Storm left in a ring. So it's like, and then every time Harris tries to get back in the match, you know, some other team is just clobbering the shit out of them.
It's nuts.
And, oh my God!
Three Live Crews down there. Triple X is down there fighting on the outside. On the outside now. On the outside. Nobody's on the inside. On the outside.
Yeah, no one else got in. It was just James and Douglas. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, it's just these two guys. And then everyone goes away. And they show Harris. And he's just laying there. And he's like, oh, I wish I could get in there. But fuck me.
It's like, it's a bloody, bloody, bloody match. Violent. Great, great false finishes. I mean, it's an exciting match. A 104 is worth this match alone.
This is a perfect example of a great cage match. How many cage matches have you seen throughout the history? And I'm just going to like say like the last like two decades. Mm-hmm. How many cage matches have you seen And I'm not saying there have to be buckets of blood at every single one, but it's like where you, sometimes you have a cage match and like the two people in the ring barely touch the cage sides and there's like no blood. And it's like, why did you put this in the cage? You didn't use it. Not everybody has to jump off the top of the cage. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you have to do like moonsaults 20 feet off the, you know, no, but just use the cage. That's what it's there for.
That's why you have it. I mean, right. I want to see violence at that point. You know?
This was perfect example. This is great.
I loved it. It's a great cage match, man. Adam's saying it right
there. And they never talk about it.
This one is way too overlooked for its own good. I think this match is one of the first in TNA. You know, to have this kind of distinction. I mean, it's go back and watch it, guys. Honestly, 104 is worth this match on its own. It's worth the money for the $10 at the time. It was worth every penny. So, match is going on. It's still going strong, but look, the Naturals went after a chair shot, able to take out. I think, did he pin Harris or Stone? Who got pinned on this one?
Harris was outside. He couldn't get back in. So Storm was on the inside. Yeah.
Chair shot put him away, and that was it. Just a crime scene of a match. But that's the end of it, man. That was how 104 went off the air. Naturals retain.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because Stevens actually gets back in the ring, and he carried a chair up the side.
That's right.
They made this big deal of, you can't get through the door. You got to climb back over the top. That's all he does.
Right? The greatness of Mike today. That's it, man. So please, guys, pester the company or something to show this stuff. I mean, come on, you're leaving history on the floor with this, man. And I don't get it. You have 20 years of tape, and you show the same shit from, you know, over and over all the time on your flashbacks. Like, come on, man.
We get it. We get it. It's what the hell is his name? Richards. Fought Eddie Edwards. We get it.
They've shown Davey and Eddie 38,000 times. Like, yes, we understand they had a feud. We know that Angelina Love turned on Alicia Edwards. Yes, we know.
We get it.
Thank you. Can we talk about the Naturals now? Can we please talk about early days of AJ and, you know, Monty Brown, you know, some of the other stars who came through the company, please? You know, put up, I don't know, show Pat Kenny and Big Vito. I don't care. Do a montage. Show me something. I mean, you should be celebrating. At least start with the titles. Do montages of every champion. Why not? Get an interview with Willie Mack talking about how being a kid watching all these on Wednesday nights. You know, talk to Chris Bay being a shorty watching all this stuff back in the day. Like, this is the kind of stuff you should be talking to at least get that stuff. Talk to the roster. Josh Alexander grew up on these. Josh, your number one guy, grew up watching, spending $10 a month a week with his buddies. He's mentioned it. Talk to these people. Get this stuff on tape. It's already March. It's already mid-March. Like, get this stuff now. Like, Slam's coming up in 3 months. Don't waste time. I want to celebrate this stuff.
They shouldn't do. This is year 20. They got to do this shit like all year long. Little things, not like huge, tremendous things, but little things all year long. Oh, by the way, this month there were these times. This month there were these times. You know, this stuff like that.
Yeah. No, thank you, Adam. Please pester him. It's like, come on, you're not doing enough to celebrate 20 at all. Like, at all. But, you know, but Jay, like, you know, the Slammiversary is kind of like the marker. You know what I mean? So you have to get it, at least get some shit up to then.
Oh, well, Slammiversary, absolutely. And then, like, up till then, they should say, well, so they can't do, like, dates, like, now, but they could say, hey, in, you know, 20 years ago, this happened on this date. You know, just, you know, something, anything.
Me and Skull have been talking, AAW hits 20 in 2 years. And we're talking now, you know, we're like, hey, we got to start planning for 20. You know, getting things together, start documenting what's what, you know, what to do. And we're a limited staff. I mean, Impact's got 3-4 times the staff we do, maybe more.
You got to start saving now because in 2 years, you know who you have to call.
Ghostbusters?
Seth Rollins.
Get the fuck out of here. Oh yeah, you're right. Well, we've been to the school. We've gone there. They call Danny Dad. That's what they refer to Danny as, his dad. And all the new Black and Brave kids call him Grandpa. That's how it works. He's dad for Seth and Shane Hollister and Merrick Brave and those guys, Marcus Crane, all those guys. He was dad. But to all the Black and Brave students now, they're told to call him Merrick Brave says call him Grandpa.
I thought Becky Lynch was the only one that called him daddy.
That's all they're gonna. Yeah, we're out of here. The show's over. All right, guys, real quick heads up. We're gonna do a quick after dark, just a short run after this. So for a few minutes, so if you're a patron, patreon.com/WeTalkImpact. We're gonna jump on for Grandpa Hero. he is Greek. Cut his mic. I haven't said cut the whole cut his mic in how long, Jay? I don't say that anymore. Holy shit! Wow. Well, last time I said cut his mic.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
Cut his mic. Man, I forgot that was my gimmick for a while. I totally forgot my own gimmick. I used to cut his mic all the time. Cut his mic. Cut his mic. God damn it! I told Jay, how did you let me forget my own gimmick? Thank you, Adam, for reminding me.
The show evolves.
I guess so.
But we have beautiful people like Adam that bring us back to that.
Thank you. All right, guys, prowrestlingtees.com/WeTalkImpact. We're working on getting a What a Maneuver store, too. We're going to be on What a Maneuver pretty soon as well. But we also have Spreadshirt. Go to Spreadshirt. The link is in the description below. Get to Spreadshirt. Tons of different TNI merchandise on Spreadshirt, as well as the link in the description for Discord. Go ahead.
Through the 22nd, through tomorrow, one more day. Free shipping. Take advantage of it.
Yeah, guys. There's a ton of designs on Spreadshirt. Ton of different types of merch. Discord link.
And more coming if you're a Patreon member.
I'll
show you what's coming.
Hey, you get a preview if you're a Patreon. New design on its way. Thanks to Sir Truckerton. It is on its way. So check that out. Guys, get some merch. Also, connect with us on all the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, @WeTalkImpact. Audio versions of this podcast on all audio platforms, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon. Please rate and review and subscribe. YouTube.com/WeTotalNonstopImpact. Twitch.tv/TotalNonstopImpact. Get us on there. J-Bone, where can people find you?
You can find me over on that other little podcast called Smash This Podcast, where we do wrestling, we do AEW, we do Impact stuff, and you know, I've been talking about this for a while, and I just don't do it, but I'm pulling the trigger. I got something I'm going to talk about with some jacked up jukebox stuff. I found something really cool today, and I'm going to talk about it on there.
Is it the new Scorpions record?
No, it's something else. I'll talk about it. I'll give you a sneak peek of it tonight on the After Dark, and I'll to the rest of the people in public later on Smash This Podcast. So.
Deal. Guys, all right, cool. Get him on Smash This Podcast. Me at Transitberry over on Twitter. I picked up a lot of new followers today. You can see why. Go look at my latest tweet. A lot of people seem to jump on that one. That was pretty fun. But thank you to Skull for making the graphic. Thank you to Skull for making the graphic that brought everybody to the dance today.
That was amazing.
You'll see if you go to my Twitter account. But guys, yeah, connect with the show @WeTalkImpact. Mark is pretty much the head of WeTalkImpact Twitter right now. So if you're communicating on there, it's usually with Mark.
Don't say that too loudly.
Yeah, I know. Mark's got heat. He's got Twitter heat. Yeah, it's Mark. Kayfabe, it's Mark. It's not Mark. I don't know. It's a Mark. How about that? Keep the kayfabe.
He's our Mark.
He's our Mark. but, all right, guys. If you're a patron, it will be on After Dark in a couple minutes. You can check that out and then join us for that. But other than that, tomorrow we are off. Join J-Bone from Smash This Podcast. We'll be doing something tomorrow. Wednesday, TNI UK. Thursday, the flagship show, watch along and post show review for Impact on Access TV. No specials this weekend so no weekend stuff, but anything pops off, we'll be here to talk about it. So,
I think we're going to do family dinner tomorrow night.
Oh, okay. Family dinner to make up for Sunday. Yeah. A lot going on Sunday. So we're going to move to tomorrow. So you get family dinner for the patrons. You get the family dinner show tomorrow. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Anything else, Jay?
No, that's it. Let's get ready for After Dark.
All right, guys. We will get out of here. Any patrons want to join us for After Dark? Please tell us. You can come into After Dark. Why don't you? We'll open the door. Any of the patrons want to be on with After Dark? Let us know. just the two of us. We only have a little bit to talk about. So we'll Jay's gonna shoot a little bit. He's got a little bit to shoot on, then we'll open it up for some patrons and jump in. So there all right, guys, we'll get out of here. Everybody, have a great rest of your week. Enjoy it. The weather's getting great out there, at least it is in the Midwest. So enjoy your time, have fun, and we will catch you guys. TNI UK will be on for the free show, for any free shows tomorrow, but family dinner tomorrow night for our patrons. Guys, we'll see you. Thanks for joining for Throwback. Next week will be 105. Watch it in advance. Be ready for 105. We are nearing the end of the Asylum years. But in the meantime, thanks again. We will talk to you guys later.